Episode 8 of the Diaz and Quimby DQ Sports Blizzard, high atop our beautiful Northern Liberty Studios. A little sun in your face there, Diaz? What's up, man?
Always at these evening shows, yeah.
Oh, really? Should I get you a curtain? Because you look a little upset. You want a pair of sunglasses?
No, I'm all good.
Look like cool, a real
man.
Radio personality?
No, I'm squinting because I'm so intense with my sports takes.
Oof, with your sports takes? Well, I love how you enunciate your S's already.
Coming through pretty hard.
Coming in hot, baby. The DQ Sports Blizzard is brought to you by our good friends at Miller Lite. Yards Brewery right here in beautiful Northern Liberties. Also, Stateside Vodka, premium vodka, distilled right here in Fishtown. Beautiful Fishtown right up the street. Bucks County Baseball Company, don't forget, they're going to have a booth at our tailgate against the Panthers this Sunday. Also, 422 Jeep Limerick. Talk to Mike McVay. Walk in talking sports. Walk out spending $45,000 on a new Jeep. Of course, our good friends at Delilah's and the beautiful ladies over there, our friends at Bourbon Blue in Manayunk. Mel and Brendan, I apologize. We will not be there on November 1st for your 14th or 15th anniversary. I'll be on a plane coming back from home ready to shoot myself in the head 42 times. And, of course, our good friends Kavanaugh's, Kenny Hutchings, Pat Pavlicek, Brian Pavlicek, all the locations, River Deck, Head House down on South Street. Rittenhouse, our good friend Paul in the basement, and of course Brian up at University City Cavs at 39th and Sansom. Everybody, we have got a lot to get to this week, but guess what we didn't do for the first time?
We didn't get together and watch football or do any kind of football or have you yell at me for 2 hours on Sunday. It's pretty good.
That's one thing we didn't do.
It's peaceful.
The other thing is we don't have any type of sheet for today.
Ah, well, yeah. I mean, we're going with no safety net on this. This is just pure talent.
Pure
talent and knowledge.
Pure, unadulterated improv here tonight. No topics listed, nothing. So, we would be more than happy if you'd like to call in the show tonight. 484-429-9983. Is that a three?
It's your writing, dude.
God, I'm a mess, dude.
This is a professional outfit we got here.
Apparently not. Yeah, 484-429-9983 is the call-in number. Feel free to give us a shout at any point in time. It was an interesting topic that you brought up right before we came on, which was let's talk about what we did on Sunday because we didn't have football, and you and I aren't running around like fucking chickens with our heads cut off. What did I do? I ordered Chinese food and pizza. And enough for about 20 hours, and I laid in fucking bed all day and watched football. Actually, let me take that back. I laid in bed all day and watched myself lose money on football.
Yeah. Well, that's like every other Sunday. That's where it was similar.
Yeah. By losing Saturday, I got crushed. Oh, fucking college football.
College football or alcohol?
Friday night, I got crushed. Saturday, I got crushed by the numbers. Sunday, got crushed by the numbers. Oh my God! We're going to talk a little bit of Sixers here.
Yeah.
We're going to talk. Well, let's talk about the Flyers real quick.
Okay.
This is our year, Volume 48.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Last
week's episode, same as the first.
And convenient. I checked today because I was getting into it with people on Facebook and all you people that get into it with me on Facebook. I appreciate you all. You're great, even though most of you are wrong. The Flyers are conveniently right at 500 right now. They're 3-3-0.
Shocker.
So what I'm predicting is the next game will be an overtime loss, or what I like to say, participation points. So they'll be 3-3-1 after.
Everybody gets a ribbon after the next game.
That's right.
Yay.
But they haven't had any banner ceremonies or jersey retirement ceremonies yet this year. So that's good for them. We're already
okay.
Six games through.
All right.
I think they've had like three home games so
nice.
Far. So.
Nice. Good.
But it sounds like people are having a good time down at the stadiums. And you know,
well, how can you not with Gritty there?
Yeah, Gritty's a big hit. as long as you're having fun watching the games and you're being somewhat realistic about the future of the team and the season, then
expectations.
Okay. Expectations. That's right. So yeah, no, that's good. That's about it for me.
I'm good with being a Flyers fan. I am a Flyers fan. You're a Flyers fan. We're all Flyers fans. If you're from Philadelphia, it is just kind of disturbing watching the Flyers nuts that just
right
know they're going to win
every single
every year.
Year every game
every year.
I don't get it. And it's the same. It's they're the same people that you know, that we tailgate with on Sunday. Some
exactly.
Of them, you know?
Oh my God, exactly. It's right. So weird.
And you know, I get in these long conversations about the Eagles, whether it's freaking Jalen Mills or the offensive line. They don't have it. They suck. Doug Peterson blows. He doesn't know how to call a game. They can't hold on to the ball. And all. And in the end, you're just like, well, those are all valid points.
And you They're don't have a goalie.
Yeah. And yeah, those are all
valid
points.
And you haven't had a goalie.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. This team is built of heart and grit and hustle.
Oh, yeah.
And we all come together. And all the defenders are so – it's just – it's the same guy. And I don't –
nice
you know,
DS.
I don't necessarily think that we should be overly positive about the Eagles right now. Last game was a turn in the right direction if we can start – you know, if we can kind of come together here. But I certainly don't think that they deserve all the vitriol that we get in. It's a different season. You know, we were 5-1 last year at this point. We're 3-3.
No, we're gonna get to football in a minute. Let's not segue from the Flyers to the Eagles because that's just a – you know – sorry, Eagles have a Super Bowl before the Flyers have had another title.
I haven't been alive for a title. I mean, you've seen like two titles, and then their former team. Yeah,
I was still trying to figure out how to use the big boy potty at that point. But let's move on. We're going to get to the Sixers just for a couple minutes, and then one of the things I did want to talk about and just absolutely awesome were the two night games this week, Sunday and
Monday
night.
Oh, yeah, they were great.
But
both games.
Your floor, your Sixers. I only half watched the game while I got a little crocked last night. So tell me what you thought. I kind of figured they came out stale.
They came out stale, yeah. And it's, you know, it's so annoying because when people – It's annoying for other people when I say you got to give it time, because that's the most non-committal answer.
Right.
But yeah, Fultz not take, you know, if he's going to stand outside the 3-point line in a corner and just never look for the ball, never ask for the ball, and isn't going to shoot, it's going to be a big problem. That said, it was game one. If anyone bet on the Sixers, the line was only 5 points going in. I'm like, wow, my God. I thought
the over under was 211, and I missed that.
Yeah, I thought that they would lose by over 10 points. It's this whole season is going to be about how are they, what kind of team is going to be together there in April? And it might be the same players, but what I'm saying is, you know, how are they playing together? What are the rotations? Three of their bench players were unavailable for this game, so short bench, and they're not even as good as Boston's bench. At first, I was thinking that the NBA didn't do the Sixers any favors by scheduling the Celtics as the on the road in the first game of the entire NBA season, and then also
shouldn't have been in our house.
Well,
because we lost to them in Boston.
I think it's okay with, you know, they won the series. It can be over there, and then we play them again. Next time we play them is in their house again on Christmas. So they don't even come here until February, March, and I would expect a completely different team. I mean, better team. Good things, Ben Simmons is unbelievable. Still doesn't take those 3-point shots. His defense was just amazing. He all around, man. That dude's an all-star already. I mean, he's an all-star. And Embiid, too many lackadaisical.
He didn't look like he had his legs under him.
Yeah, I don't know if it's his legs. He just doesn't seem like he was paying attention. He gets that when he gets the ball in the low post, he's got to make decisions quicker. It looks like he sizes up to see if he can take it to the hoop, and then another defender comes in and he's too quick to pass out of the double team. But again, first game. I'm going to the game tomorrow. They're at home against the Bulls. That should be a win. But you know, if you're comparing yourself to the conference's best team and maybe the second best team in the entire league after the first game and saying that there's no hope, don't even watch this. Don't even watch.
Right.
It's like the people that booed Kapler on night one.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I got
Take
you.
Take it easy.
Hey, Rex, what do you think about this? Oh, forgot to tell you, everybody, we're Rexless tonight.
Rexless.
We are Rexless. Rex is, I don't know, I just talked to him a little while ago. He goes, oh, I'm driving down to Florida. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. You know,
Rex,
can't wait till January when I can do the same thing.
Rex, if you want to call in and interrupt us via phone, that's welcome as well.
He's been instructed to call in and make picks.
Ah, okay.
So he'll definitely be calling in.
To tell you the truth, and I'm sure we're going to get to this last, but I don't mind Rex not being here today after the events of this weekend.
He's not. Oh, forgot about that.
Yeah,
that's on a topic for tonight.
So I'm like, shit, man, is this going to be another it's always a Diaz bashing episode. I get it, but normally we team up well against Rex. But man, I got no room to breathe here. No legs to stand on after the events of this past weekend.
All right. Well, hey, you know, let's continue on. We're gonna keep this show from dragging an hour and 45 minutes and us getting drunk and babbling up a storm. I'm still gonna
babble.
Well, we know we can't get away from that. We're gonna move on to football, but I want to talk about around the league first. Then we've got enough to talk about around the league right now. That'll probably take us to our first break, and then we'll come back and we'll be all Eagles for the second part of the show and finish strong.
That's cool.
So the first part around the league that we do have to discuss is that, in case anybody didn't know, Diaz, Rex, myself, we're all in the same fantasy football league. And
Jesus, I thought this was going to be the end of the show.
And Rex got his first win this week against the mighty Diaz. Taking him down to a fucking 3-3 record. Sound like the Flyers.
Yeah, perfectly 500. Rex is terrible, and he didn't even start a fucking kicker. He didn't start a fucking kicker, and I lost.
I started Devontae Freeman, and I didn't even know he was out. They didn't have a little O under him, and he said it was since Friday he's been out. I was watching that thing like a hawk. I lost. I lost after I started out of the gate with Corey Clement and Alshon Jeffries with 46 points.
Wow.
Two players. And then, of course, Deshaun Watson, nothing against Buffalo. Devontae Freeman, I start, 0 points. Julio Jones had a nice day. Cooper Kupp, ooh. All right, let's talk about
that. He was out, though. He got hurt.
Let's talk about that, because I had a post on Facebook, and I'm going to tell you right now, the NFL, you are a bunch of unaccountable pussies. Fact. Okay? You want to talk, you're such a bunch of fucking hypocrites, it's not even funny. You want to talk about making the game safer, and you have outlawed the horse collar. Yet I see a horse collar in almost every fucking game. The horse collar over and above, a fucking smack to the helmet on a quarterback, or even a defenseless hit into somebody's chest. It's not as injury prone as a horse collar. Horse collar will snap your knee in 2 fucking seconds. And you pussies up in New York will not hold anybody accountable for it. If you get a horse collar, be careful. Be careful. 15-yard penalty. No fines. Cooper Kupp got knocked out of the game.
Yeah.
With that injury.
He came back, though, didn't he?
He came back, but he was useless.
Yeah, right.
Now, imagine, did you see what happened to his knee? Did you see his ankle and his knee buckle when he went down?
How's that?
He could have easily been out for the season because one motherfucker decided he was going to save 5 yards by racking him in the back. You got to find these guys. You got to find them hard or it's going to continue to happen. And these people who are trying to make a living, not your precious marquee quarterbacks, are going to lose.
I think a lot of it, too, is they don't necessarily... It gets into this technicality, which is what the fucking NFL rule book is terrible. The horse collar, yeah, we know what it is. But a lot of these tackles are horse collar light, where they're grabbing the back of the jersey and pulling him down from behind, which in effect is the same thing.
It's the same thing.
It's the same. What you don't want is a guy being pulled down as they're accelerating forward and just fucks up the bottom.
The rule book is gray.
Yeah.
But an injury-prone tackle like that is not. If you're going to get him from behind, you got to get him from the ankles.
Yeah.
Period. You can't get him from above. And that's an easy thing to fucking write into the rule book. How difficult is that? If you're going to tackle somebody from behind, it better be from the ass down. You can't grab him up top and stop his forward momentum because something's going to snap. And that bothers the ever-loving shit out of me, considering all the other crap that's going on. You know, like we discussed last week with, you know, putting a goddamn red shirt on a quarterback these days.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, is is your marquee wide receivers or running backs? Are they not good enough for you where you don't fucking care? Slap some fines on them. Slap fines on them.
And learn how to tackle. Just tackle.
It's brutal, dude. It's a different game these days. Now, moving forward and segueing into this, fuck. Sunday night and Monday night games were awesome.
They were amazing.
Awesome.
They were amazing.
I would go take a piss after the Chiefs scored, and by the time I came back, the Patriots were down in the 20.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck just happened? I'm like, I'm not taking long pisses. I'm the average, 23 seconds.
Now, that also kind of talks about what that speaks a little bit to what you were just saying about the rule book and everything. You know, they're making defense less effective. But with that said,
if it's across the board, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, right.
You know, if it's consistent,
yeah,
absolutely. So the question is, did we absolutely see an AFC championship game pre-match on Sunday night? I believe we did. Do you see any other teams competing against the Patriots or the Chiefs barring some major injury?
Not from what we've seen so far. You never know.
I mean, and
I'm saying that I'm using that reservation because I think if we flipped it to the NFC, I don't think we see the Eagles there right now.
I agree.
So I, you know, hope that they're and it's happened plenty of times. You know, we're only 6 weeks in. We've seen the Patriots be 3-3 and they win the Super Bowl. We've seen other teams that start off a little sluggish. Not say slow. I mean, not 1-5, but you know, things happen in the league. That's why we watch every week.
Right.
The way the schedule is made up at the beginning of the year to get some marquee matchups, might be some tough games, softer side. You know, for us, we got some big games at the end of the season, but we got 5 NFC East games.
Well, you keep reverting over to the Eagles, and I want to stay in the AFC.
Well, I'm an Eagles fan.
Well, I get it. I see your shirt.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much all I wear.
We got uniforms and everything. It's really great.
Yeah.
What movie? Oh, you suck.
What is it from? Listen, I don't know anything before 1984. I'm telling you this.
That might be, well, it's 88, 89.
I was 11.
Who do you play for, Jake? The Indians? Really? Right here in Cleveland?
Major League.
I didn't know they still had a team. Yeah, we have uniforms and everything. It's really great.
Yeah.
AFC, nobody.
I mean,
the Dolphins come back against the Bears. That was kind of wild.
That was awesome.
What are they, 4-1 now? 4-2. 4-2.
Yeah, Brock Osweiler. He's starting again this week.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. Our good friend Lewis was down there having a good time.
Yeah, Lewis didn't wear the jersey, but that's all right. You know. It's coming. It's coming again. I don't know. Anybody. Anybody else in the AFC?
I'm trying to think real quick off the top. The Chargers?
No. Colts, Titans.
No.
Bills. Do the Steelers have enough juice?
No. No.
That game was a little fucking terrible to watch. I didn't like that Bengals-Steelers game at all. It was kind of...
Vontaze Burfict's got to go.
Yeah. The Jags. I'm sorry. The Jags. Are they still in it without Fournette?
It's not even Fournette. Just what the fuck? Dallas just blew them out. And Dallas is terrible.
They are. How does you know
put
what?
It goes
to the point. You just never know. Are the Ravens that good?
They're better than I thought, but I don't think they're that good.
Their defense is pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah.
What did they have? 9 sacks?
More than that. I think it was
9 sacks into.
I think it was 11.
The third quarter.
Yeah, they had
something.
The team record right.
Raiders are terrible.
Oh my gosh, that's
dude.
Great too.
I was so happy to put a dime down on Seattle to put a whooping on them at Wembley.
Right. And seeing John Gruden just be terrible. Seriously though,
horrible,
I mean, you offer that dude $100 million deal. He hasn't coached in a decade, and he does not have a good record. He won a Super Bowl with the team that Dungy put together.
With a team that, exactly.
You know,
that
he comes in, you know, and won. And but he gets credit for leading the team, you know, being the head coach of a Super Bowl champion. But then after that, he was 500. And he stopped coaching before all these different changes.
All I have to remember about Chucky is him sitting in the booth, and every single second and eight during the Eagles in the mid-fucking 90s, all he did was run the ball on second and eight. It was so fucking predictable. So predictable and got nowhere. What was his back? Oh, Ricky. Ricky Waters.
Yeah, Ricky. Yeah.
All right, Ricky would get him three. It's third and fucking five. Third and six. Every goddamn time. You knew it. I'd just be like this. Yep. Running the ball. Second and eight. Second and nine. Second and ten. Running the ball. Armchair fucking quarterback in the entire thing. And you knew it was going to happen. And it would get 3 to 5 yards, and it'd be third and long. And you'd sit back and you'd go, what are you doing up there? Please at least tell me you're spunking all over the floor. You know, you got a hard jack moving down.
Spider wide.
Yeah.
Spider was spider 2Y banana. That's right.
Nice. Yeah, I've never liked him. I do like the bit that he was doing with the quarterbacks coming in and the players from, you know, the next draft.
Yeah,
I thought that was
the QB room or whatever.
Yeah,
it was.
That was, I think most people really enjoyed that.
Well, and I don't know if it was his idea or some producer, but what was cool about that is you kind of get into the quarterback room of breaking down tape. Now, he was kind of challenging the QB draft picks or whatever, challenging them in, hey, here's a play, here's a defense, tell me what you're seeing, what's going to happen, what have you seen before, when have you used this, that whole deal.
But you didn't say it. Good work.
But we.
Why do they say long story short, Stan? They're not making it any shorter.
I'm happy that we don't have the drop board up today.
I do. It's up.
Just too busy. I spoke too soon. But I think the concept is what people really liked the most.
I don't know. It's that curled upper lip that bothers the fuck out of me.
The Chucky faces. It's not necessary.
It's unnecessary. And I think he's just trying to run with that. That's his bag. His MO.
That's right.
And it's. It's fucking stupid.
Yeah, it's dumb.
How was it, Carmen? Totally fucking stupid. That's what his faces are.
It's just good to see a dude that thinks he knows more than everybody else just get his, you know, like Chip, just get his comeuppance.
Well,
you know?
This is an interesting concept with that, and it is what if he just doesn't perform after 3 years, and you know, he's got a 10-year contract.
Yeah.
You know, and a piece of the team. I don't know what it is. I think it was like 1.5%, 2%, something like that. But wow, like
can you get on TV? He won't be able to coach, but can he still collect them paycheck while being a commentator?
I would imagine. I would imagine the second he gets, and he will, because he's bad. He's terrible.
Yeah.
All right. He's not a good coach.
No.
All right. And that's a Raiders move. That's a total Al Davis. That's a Davis family move right there. That's all about selling tickets, which makes no fucking sense because we can go back to last week's episode and talk about how worthless football tickets are.
Right.
Because there's only 10 of them. That's all you get.
Yeah.
That's it. All right. You're trying to put fans in the stands. You should try to be winning to put fans in the stands.
That's right.
Not hire a fucking high-profile coach who can't coach to put fans in the stands. Not going to work. Now, Vegas is going to embrace.
Well,
and that's the only thing that they have going for it. Because right about the time when his fucking, you know, usefulness is over and you know, he's burned the candle, well, let's go to Vegas and see what happens. Hey, it'll be a recharged team. Chucky's back. He's got a new attitude. Blah, 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 blah. And they're going to go 4-12.
I'll be surprised. I think it'll be successful just because it's Vegas. And the stadium will be filled by us. It's going to be filled by all the visiting fans. A topic I wanted to bring up, too, is this report that came out from Seth Wickersham today about the L.A. experiment and how it's failing miserably, especially on the Chargers side. But, I mean, are Vegas fans, you know, it looks like they showed up for the Golden Knights last year in hockey. So, you know, and I'm sure there's Vegas, you know, plenty of Vegas sports
fans. Well, you
got to
keep in mind, too, that, you know, that stadium only holds 18,000 people,
right, yeah.
19,000
so,
people.
Do they have enough to fill up 70,000 and sell PSLs out there and everything? Or is it
now the only here's what they have. This is the interesting thing that's going to take place. They're going to sell because the casinos are going to pick up any of the PSLs
right, yeah.
that
and
aren't being used
away,
and
yeah.
give them away to their fucking marquee,
yeah.
you know, players.
That's right. I didn't even think
that. they will never have an issue because it will be 8 party Sundays out of the year where, oh, my God, this guy's in the box. Oh, my God, I got seats in the 50-yard line because of Mandalay Bay.
Right.
You know, that will be huge. But will it be a home field advantage? I'm sure it will be, but it's not going to be much of one because I think in the beginning they're going to sell tickets. They're going to sell them like crazy. They'll be good to go. And then they're going to find out that is, you know, if things don't change, you got the same bad coach making the same bad calls as he did eons ago, and there you have it. It'll just start to dwindle, but the seats will never dwindle because the casinos will pick them up.
Right, they'll be purchased, but they might have asses.
And
in
here's
the
thing. Yeah. Here's the thing, and this is where they're going to have to be really, really fucking cautious. If they decide. Let's say, all right, they're going to sell those seats one way or the other. Let's say people start giving up their seats and the casinos get them. Casinos aren't going to let go of those. So the worst they do in the beginning, if they don't come out of the gate firing, they're fucked because half that stadium is going to be taken up by casinos and people that couldn't give one particular shit about the Las Vegas Raiders.
Right.
Get used to saying that, by the way.
The Vegas Raiders?
I still say the San Diego Chargers. I can't get it out of my head. But
well, this is what, in this article today, Seth Wickersham, the NFL owners' meetings are going on right now or whatever. They are lowering the projections of the Chargers, their revenue goals, from $400 million to $150
million. What?
As a reflection of the difficulty of selling PSLs, the Chargers.
Well, it was the dumbest fucking move ever.
It was. It's dumb.
Just admit you were wrong and go back to San Diego.
And pay for your own fucking stadium.
And pay for your own stadium. Or pay for a third of it.
You're going to host a Super Bowl once every 5 years. You're going to host two bowl games every year.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
It's San Diego.
Concerts.
It's gorgeous down there.
Come on.
And that stadium is trash. It's dumb.
It is. It needs to be fucking killed.
Make some deal work. I don't know.
Family is the dumbest collection of fucking morons.
Right.
And I had to deal with them last year. And I had to deal with them in 2009. They have some good people working for them. Steve Pankowski, fantastic. All right. If it wasn't for guys like him, the Chargers would be walking around in circles. You know,
and they have a good team.
Lazy eye walking around, you know, in a circle the entire time.
They've had a good team. They've had Hall of Fame players
decades. They don't have a fan base. There's nothing to build them up. There's nothing to lift them past mediocrity. And it's because the ownership is less than mediocre.
Right.
Fact.
It's the one constant through all the years. And I think Chargers in San Diego, they had a fan base. I mean, you know, you wouldn't say it's like the biggest thing in the world, but no, there's Chargers fans.
There's Chargers
fans.
There's
plenty of Chargers fans
down there. But you know what? Here's the deal. You give yourself a new stadium and give the Fairweather fans an opportunity to come visit a new stadium. Yes, Qualcomm, dump.
It was dump, the worst stadium
dump,
I was
dump,
ever.
Dump, fucking dump.
Yeah.
Small concourse is impossible. Can't take a piss.
No bathrooms.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero. I get it. The owner was right in that particular aspect.
But he doesn't want to pay for it.
But he doesn't want to kick up any bit of his fucking money because he's one of those loser NFL owners. He's one of those broke-ass NFL owners that on paper looks really good, but is still tipping 18% on a check.
Right. Sell out to like the Sixers owners for $2 billion. You got your money. Get the hell out of there. Then they move back to San Diego, and the fans down there would welcome them back in open
100%.
Arms. Without the Spanos family.
If Spanos said, I'm sorry, I was wrong. All you have to say, guarantee that doesn't happen.
Right. It will never
guarantee
happen.
Guarantee that doesn't happen. Too much fucking pride for a somewhat wealthy dickwad who, again, couldn't find the little man in the canoe if it was, you know, poking him in the head. all right. You know what? Let's take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break.
Take a little break. We're halfway through. This break's brought to you by our good friends over at Stateside Vodka. Stateside Vodka is a premium distilled vodka right here in beautiful Fishtown, Philadelphia. We know everybody that works over there. Boys, the ladies, Jenna, you're an absolute sweetheart. We want to thank you for taking care of us on Thursday
That was awesome.
During the game that we had, or the tailgate that we had over at Vesper, and we're going to get into Vesper and on the other side. But you guys, we'll be back for all right. DQ Sports Blizzard. Like I said, we're only a one song break organization as opposed to the Rob V Show, which is going to be coming up after this. I think it's just going to be Rob and I tonight, which is fine. Good with that. This next segment is brought to you by our good friends at Bourbon Blue. Bourbon Blue and Manioc. If you're not in Manioc, if you're not doing anything on November 1st at 7 p.m., head over to Bourbon Blue. That's number 2 Rector Street. Just come to the top of the hill by the Bayou, which Bayou and Cactus are also sponsors of the show. We're going to keep adding as we go. But as you get to the top of that little crest by the Bayou, you just head down Rector Street towards the river, and you'll see them on the right. They're great friends of the program. They're great people. Melissa and Brendan, we've known them for years. We are vested in the success of their organization, and make sure you guys patronize them.
A lot of good memories at Bourbon Blue, and a lot of memories I don't remember at Bourbon Blue.
Nice. I like that. That's perfect. Let's not beat around the bush on this one. Let's talk some Eagles football, man.
Let's go Birds.
I'm happy to see that they took strides. The Giants are a bad team, but they did what they should do to a bad team.
Exactly, right.
And
on the road, short rest, kind of beat up.
On the road, short rest, division opponent.
Haven't gotten it all together. We talked on the show last week. It's always with the Giants and Eagles.
It's always a close game.
It's
you never know.
Close game. You never know.
And I'll be honest with you, when Saquon Barkley started ripping off some of those, boy, it's not that you can't tackle. It's that Saquon is so strong.
Yeah.
It really, you know, I want to blame is, how do you not tackle? But every single team and personnel on a defense that Barkley goes up against makes them look that way.
It's crazy. He looks better this year than he did with Penn State.
He is a stud, man. I do say this, and once they get rid of fucking Eli, who, you know, he's at this point.
Right. He's trash.
He is. But once they get rid of him, and if they wind up getting a decent quarterback, it could spell problems. You know, that Barkley is good for... How many yards did he have? 180?
Yeah, 200 yards.
200,
total, yeah.
Something like
130
that.
130 and 99. 130 rushing, 99 receiving. Yeah,
that's kind of scary. That's scary, and you got to face that guy twice a year, for at least the next 5 years. Is he a 4 or 5 year on his rookie contract?
It would be 5 years.
Five.
Four years plus the 5 years.
Did he get the? Yeah, it's 4 years with a 5th year option.
Yeah, yeah. And then
they're not going to get rid of him.
And then franchising.
But other than that, I did love seeing some of the turnovers. Again, it's what you do to a bad team.
Yeah.
And it is Eli. But either way, again, you know, if the Eagles won 24-21, I'd still be happy. But I'd be going, okay, what the fuck? You know, you should blow this team out. And they, in fact, did. I have a concern. The running game still, obviously. Has all of the possibilities of a trade for a running back gone out the window? Because I think Smallwood averaged 4.1 yards a carry,
yep.
And Clement averaged like 3.2. It wasn't spectacular. The passing game was on,
yeah,
and that was
Carson,
good to see.
Man.
He's a stud.
He just is.
Stud.
He's just a stud. He's just got this rocket arm. He kind of moves around. Even when he doesn't set his feet,
dude,
like,
that scramble right and throwback to Alshon in the end, like, come on, man, that's not even
you
can't defend
because that's a bad move. That's the quarterback's not supposed to do that.
But he put it right in his breadbasket, full speed, mm-hmm. Crazy. But are we still talking about it? Has there been any other rumors? I have heard precisely nothing about a running back trade.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not Bell, and we were talking, a third-round pick for a half-year rental? Sure, we blow third-round picks all the time. You
yeah,
know?
100%.
I mean, and I could be completely wrong. You know, I feel like there's a hole there. Let's get it. Now,
that's yeah.
And running back, especially someone with that much talent, you know, while they certainly can't just be thrown right into it. You know, you got to keep things a little basic for him as he picks it up. It's better than a receiver, you know. You throw a safety. Safety's probably an easier place to pick things up, unless you know they're blitzing and doing all this. We could use a little boost. I think that would be. You know, we're not going to pick up a stud offensive lineman before the trade deadline. I was a little disappointed when I saw that Le'Veon Bell did not report this week, not just because I have him in fantasy and I'm dying without him, but I just thought that he would because they're not playing and he wouldn't get banged. I thought it was all about him being worried about getting banged up. Pittsburgh has a bye this week anyway, so they weren't going to play. But if he doesn't report by week 10, he's got to report by week 10. We're at week 7 now, so he's got to report by week 10 or the season doesn't count.
Is it week 10?
Week 10.
I thought it was week 9.
I'm pretty sure. Well, after week 9. So going into the week 10.
I got you. Okay. All right.
So we're in week 7. He'd have to report like that Tuesday of after week 9.
Right. I gotcha.
So basically 2 weeks from now he has to report anyway. So when he didn't, I thought that maybe he would show up and because he wasn't going to play and then there would be a trade. But, you know, I don't know. And, you know, some team is going to sign him for a ton of money. And it's funny because I see both sides and I agree with both sides. You know, the guy wants to get paid, but he wants to win. You see what happened with Odell Beckham. He was kind of bitching, last year because they didn't offer him a long-term deal, and he's if not the best, one of the best top three wide receivers talent-wise in the game.
Right.
And he's popular, and he owns New York, and he got all the money. He got all the money that he could possibly get this offseason, and he's bitching about not getting the ball, you know, and they're not winning. They're not good. What happens when you spend a lot of money like that on one player that's not your quarterback? And he's not a defensive end or an offensive lineman. You know, wide receiver Odell Beckham is better than.
Oh my God! What happened? He had a meltdown.
Yeah, he has a meltdown all the time because he's not getting the ball because Eli sucks.
So wait a second, but they said he went into the locker room before halftime because he needed fluids.
Right.
So he was either fucking jacking up the blow the night before with some prosty in London, right? Wasn't that where that video came from?
I don't. Was that London?
Yeah, that was London, man. Keep going. I'm sorry. He's just a fucking
head case. It's just you spend a lot of money on a position like that. You have less money to spend on your offensive line. When you have less money to spend on your offensive line, you sign on Nate Solder. Then your washed quarterback doesn't have time. Not like Eli would be able to connect anyway. But you know, I see that the running back market. Don't spend a whole lot of money on running back because they don't age well. And even if the guy's a stud and so on and so forth, but someone's going to sign Le'Veon Bell, and then they're not going to have a good line. It'll be another, it'll be like a Saquon thing. Imagine him with a good line. I don't mind renting a guy for a draft pick. We see, what's the value of a third round pick? You're going to find all pros every year in the third round,
right?
You just got to pick the right one, and the draft is such an inexact science. Even the best pro personnel guy will say, if you're right 55% of the time, you're a Hall of Fame general manager.
Right.
That's 45% failure rate. So, but on the other hand, players need to get theirs. Like Earl Thomas, who held out but then showed up for week one, he gave the finger to the sideline. I get it, Listen, I want a long-term commitment.
Right, right.
You're not giving it to me. But on the other hand, the team's like, well, You're older and the risk of injury is so high, we just don't want to take that risk, so we're not offering you a deal, and then look what happens.
Right, right.
So, it's – I don't know what the perfect solution is. My solution is, I think, at least in the Lev Bell situation, is if you have free agency and then you have what do we call it, franchise tag – you can only be franchise tagged once. You can't be franchise tagged 2 years in a row. That's bullshit. You're just dragging it on. You're not, That said, though, Lev Bell would be getting paid, more than any running back the last 2 years, but there's just nothing going forward. I would think the $14 million that he would get paid this year, he would be able to live off that, for quite some time. So anyway, no, haven't heard any future rumors. It's weird that they created this money before, you know, and there's just nothing. That money was freed up 2 weeks ago, and we still haven't heard anything.
Right.
I would think that there'd be some move pending, or maybe they did it just in advance, I guess, just in case, but that doesn't make any sense.
I guess it's probably one of those cases where if...
You got to be ready?
Not only that, but if even if that doesn't happen, there's going to be another move that you can make somewhere down the road if it's next season, you know, whatever, free agency period before next year. You at least have it sitting there at this
point. Well, but the thing is, no, that money didn't go away. It just freed it up for this season. So what?
It is for this season. That's
yeah,
right.
So what they did is they paid him out a portion of his salary as bonus.
How much room did they create with that?
$7 million.
Really?
6.8 or something.
So he got a lot of fucking bonus before he had to worry about playing for it.
Right, and the reason why...
But he's been a stud this year.
Oh, yeah, he's great. And he deserves the money. But what they did is they took his X amount of salary, turned it into bonus so they could prorate it out for the remaining 3 years,
gotcha.
Freed it up this year. So it's still going to count against the cap next year. The reason you make that room available now is so it can fit into this year's cap.
Right.
So, yeah. And the way the dollars lined up, see, that's why I just thought it made a whole lot of sense. Maybe they thought they might be able to make a deal for Bell, but for the remaining weeks that Bell's going to get paid, it comes in right, you know, right there. It's they would be very tight against the cap going forward after that trade for, you know, pick up free agent pickups or things, but it was right there.
Yeah.
So it made a lot of sense. We'll see. Still have faith in Howie.
Yeah, I do too. In Howie we trust, baby. So on the defensive line, I do think Derek Barnett's return was felt.
Yeah.
I like that guy more and more every single play. He is a workhorse, man. He's not. I don't think he's going to be. I think he's going to be a marquee player, but I think he's going to get you 7 or 8 sacks a year. Be a threat all the time. Can't go his way. Can't let up. I don't want to talk anymore about the Giants game. We won how we should have won. You agree?
Yeah.
Let's talk about something that we... I hate saying this, man, but this game against Carolina on Sunday has overlook, let down, every other...
Trap game.
Every other phrase you can use written all over it. All over it. And the one element that nobody's talking about, and they might be, but I don't listen to sports radio anymore because, well,
yeah, it's terrible.
WIP sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I listen to 97.5 when I'm in the car, but I won't go out of my way to listen to 94.1 at all, you know, regardless of history. They're just terrible.
Right.
The Eagles beat Carolina on Monday night in Carolina last year.
No, wrong. Thursday night on the road.
Was it Thursday.
It was a Thursday night.
No, it wasn't.
It was a Thursday night game.
No, it wasn't. Was it?
Yeah, man.
Was it Thursday night?
Yeah, it was Thursday.
That was Thursday night?
It was right around this time of year last year. It was like week 6.
Was it? It wasn't Monday night? Are you sure about that?
Because
I ran
a
trip down there.
I know, and you normally don't do that for Thursdays. But I'm pretty sure it was Thursday night because they were the color rush. Remember, they wore all white?
Are you sure?
Yeah, we only had one Monday night game last year. It was against Washington at home.
Are you sure?
I'm an idiot savant. I remember the dates of the games, of the road games.
You motherfucker, you are right.
Yeah.
That was a Thursday night game.
Yeah, that's why it was a big... I was like, holy shit, they won on Thursday and Carolina
was... We still had 500 people at our tailgate.
Well, yeah.
And we didn't run out of beer.
We're the Green Legion. We don't run out of beer.
We don't run out of beer.
We have
beer,
hundreds of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we do our own thing. We usually don't team up with a bunch of other people.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. So, you know, we deliver on what's promised, what people pay for.
Yeah.
See, when they pay, see, this is how it kind of works. You pay for something, for something that you expect in return. Normally, what we try and do is deliver on that.
Yeah.
We try and deliver on what the clients pay for. It's crazy. I know. I know.
What is, I don't understand.
I know it's very hard to deliver.
I don't understand.
It's very hard to deliver, you know. We don't spend a whole lot of money on radio advertising, I guess.
Oh, yeah. No, I got you. I got you. So what do you think about this game?
I hear what you're saying. This is where I hate Philly fans, and I'm one of them. I ride the wave of emotions when we're down. I'm like, oh, man, I'm worried. And right now I'm just like, Carson Wentz is just a beast, and Alshon Jeffrey is a beast. I think Carolina, historically, I could be wrong. I'd like to see Cam Newton's home road splits, but I find him to be a lot less scary on the road.
I just got a text from Rex.
What'd he say? Is it about me? Or, I hope not.
Listening in my truck, I keep going to myself. I would be raising my hand right now.
Rex, it's not your turn to talk. Shut the fuck up. But don't you think that Carolina is just not as frightening, you know, for them coming up here?
You know what? Hold on just a moment, because I think somebody wants to join in on this conversation.
Oh, shit. Rex, you're interrupting my...
No, I want... What is that? That is an Army helicopter coming down and fast. See that?
Yeah, it's landing at Penn's Landing, right?
Looks like it. Sorry, we have an extremely interesting vantage point right from our studio window. And we've seen some weird shit. Diaz was part of the... He just came down, and now he's hovering. He's looking at something.
Yeah, he's coming back.
There's a ship in question coming up the harbor, or coming up the river. Yeah. That's what's going on. And hey, to all of our riverboat pilots, our good friends, Matthew Sullivan, Sully, weather's going to start turning here in a little bit. You guys be careful getting on that rope ladder. We don't want to see anything happening to you on the way up. In case you don't know what happens there, that's how I know Rex, our good friend Sully, is a riverboat pilot. He comes out of Delaware, Lewis, to all the big ships that are coming in with cargo.
Okay.
They throw a rope ladder downside, and the pilots have to climb up the rope ladder and go up top of the ship and navigate up the river. They don't touch the wheel. They just tell them where to go. Hey, you know, 2 degrees.
Right.
To port, you know, that kind of shit. But every now and then you hear about a riverboat pilot that slips on the ladder. And as you get into the winter weather, that's when it's much more dangerous. So you guys stay safe out there. As well, all of our merchant marines listening on a truck going to Florida, you motherfucker. All right, keep going, because I was trying to get Cap to call in. Let me see. Can I call from Skype?
Professional organization we got right here.
What all fucking pros. Ever.
But back, we were talking about Carolina this week. You're not supposed to make comparisons, but it took them overtime to beat that Giants team at home. You know, and that Giants team is trash.
That's just another reason why.
I know.
This whole thing makes me fucking nervous.
It makes me nervous. And then, man, if they win at home, man, this London trip's people are gonna be going nuts, especially if the Jags take a tumble.
I think I can call. Let's see here.
Now maybe Captain is busy protecting our freedom.
Don't give a shit.
He's busy protecting our freedom.
He needs to talk right now, because I don't want to hear him bitch that he didn't get a chance to talk this week. All right, we're going to try this right now, see if this happens. Oh. Really? Oh, I can't make outgoing calls. I can only take calls in. Anyway, back to the Carolina game. That's everything that scares me about this game. Cam Newton's still Cam Newton.
Yeah.
You never know what he's going to do. You never know what Shrek's going to do. I don't know. I couldn't tell you other than what? Torrey Smith? Who's on that fucking team?
Devin Funchess? Christian McCaffrey?
McCaffrey, but he's not the great white hope at running back.
Right.
Sorry. You know, he's a nice serviceable player. It's going to get you points. But are they 4-1 right now?
Is Carolina 4-1?
4-2?
Have they had a bye? So they're playing. Oh, yeah, they had a bye week already.
They did.
Yeah.
So they're 4-1. They're God, that NFC South division kind of loading up right now. Well,
they're
Atlanta sucks, but and now Tampa, wow, how about that? How do you feel about losing to Tampa, and Tampa hasn't won a fucking game since that one?
I know.
It just pisses you off, doesn't it?
Carolina's 3-2. They're 0-1 in the division. They lost in Atlanta last week, I believe. Is that right? Does that make sense?
I don't know. Well, let's do this, because I know Rex is going to be calling in on the next segment. We're gonna hop off for just a minute. We're gonna listen to a little AC/DC. This break brought to you by our good friends at 422 Jeep Limerick. Seriously, it's the greatest car buying experience on the planet, but we don't want to say car buying. Greatest Jeep buying experience on the planet. And like Mike always says, baby, do everything with the top off. Come in, talk about sports, walk out with a brand new Jeep. You guys, we're going to come back after break with some predictions and some results that every one of you assholes are going to be upset about. All right, episode 8 of the DQD as a Quimby Sports Blizzard. High atop our beautiful studios here in Northern Liberties. We're just going to get to a couple other things here real fast. Going to bust Diaz's balls a little bit more.
Oh, it must be a day of the week.
Yeah, well, hey, that's what you get for coming here. I'm going to tell Rex to call in right now. Basically, right now, we're going to have our predictions, and we're also going to talk a little bit about what took place last week. And probably a good opportunity to remind everybody that Rex did beat Diaz in our Green Legion Big Boy Fantasy League this week. I'm sorry, you're getting kind of annoyed with that?
Again, it doesn't matter in a snake draft league. It's not a measure of your true fantasy skill unless you play in an auction. So it doesn't bother me. Auction leagues is where it's at. It's the true test of a man, not this bullshit snake draft shit.
What's a snake draft?
The way that we draft in the Big Boy League. Also, the name of the league is the Big Boy League. So it's hard to take seriously, you know, with
Big Boy Snake.
Big Boy Snake League, yeah.
Call in, you dumb fuck. You sent him a text already.
Yeah.
He just doesn't know what to do.
Rex, if you're listening, raising your hand in your car on the ride down to Florida doesn't get you called upon. You need to call in.
You dumb dick. How are you?
Hey, what's up?
Rex, are you raising your hand in the car out the window?
I am. Keep screaming at my dashboard.
Well, everybody, let's talk about the results from week 6 in the DQR competition. Rex, you went 7-8 this week.
Rex, you suck. You're stupid. You don't know anything about football.
Diaz,
you really want to talk right now?
If
I win one time this year in fantasy football, it's going to be worth it against you, buddy.
Hey, don't worry about it. I got your back on this the entire show.
We're deleting this from the replay.
6:05 p.m. Yeah. Diaz, you went 8-7.
Oh, what's up, Rex, you bitch?
As opposed to Quimby, who went 10-5.
Wow. Hey, Quimby.
Yeah,
wow.
Suck a dick.
How much money did you win on Sunday?
Yeah, not much.
Yeah, right.
It's goddamn spreads. Again, the only spread I like.
Well, here we go.
Is a cheese spread. And so for the season right now, Rex and I are tied at 19-11. And Diaz is in second place at 18-12.
Well, that's pretty close.
Yeah. How do you like it? Diaz, second place again, buddy.
I'm happy you're going to Florida, Rex. I don't want to see you. I don't have to see you for 2 or 3 weeks. It's going to be great.
All right, hey.
I'll be there next week, buddy.
Let's go right into predictions. We got a Thursday night game tomorrow, an interesting game. Kind of a kind of two teams that are laying in mediocrity right now. The Broncos in Arizona against the Cardinals. Rex, you go first.
I got Case Keenum now. I got to go with the Broncos.
All right. Rex with the Broncos. Diaz, what
do
you got?
This is tough, man. This is when I want to go to the lines.
Yeah. Put your phone down.
I'm looking
put
at
your
Venmo.
Phone down.
Jesus
Christ. He does that every week. We got to tell him every week to put his phone down.
Well, I'm in second place, so maybe I shouldn't look at my phone. Denver in Arizona, short week. I'm going Arizona.
You're going Arizona?
Yep.
I, unfortunately, am going with Diaz on this. I am taking Arizona as well. I'm not buying the Broncos, dude. I'm not buying Case Keenum.
Yeah.
I've watched almost every game that he has played. No, I take that back. I've watched three games that he's played. He's not that great of a quarterback. His timing is off. He's missed. Emmanuel Sanders has just got to be fucking livid at this point. If he's not pissed, I don't understand it. Like, he's missed him so many times, it's not even funny. But the Titans against the Los Angeles Chargers in L.A.,
Rex, you hit it first, Rex.
Chargers.
Rex, Chargers, Diaz.
Chargers. Tennessee, last week I was talking about how great Tennessee's defense and underrated is. They fucking blow. That was a disgrace.
That's an RDQ. We got it. Diaz, Bengals at the Chiefs, as if this one's even going to be something we have to talk about.
This might be tough, but I got to go Chiefs at home.
I'm going Chiefs as well. Rex?
One thing I wanted to mention, you guys, is
you're supposed to raise your hand.
Chiefs Patriots thing is that the Patriots always do well later in the season, and the Chiefs almost always falter. But I'm going to go with the Chiefs this week.
Great point, Rex.
Great point.
Wow.
Thanks for that waste of radio.
Yeah, great.
Browns versus Buccaneers.
Oh wow, the poopfecta, the two ugliest uniforms in the league.
I'm going first. I'm taking the Browns to beat them in Tampa.
Damn, that's tough. I'm going to go Tampa. Tampa over Cleveland.
Rex?
Browns.
All right.
Ooh, I get a point there.
Yep. All right, Vikings at the Jets. Interesting game.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Donald?
Darnold.
Darnold? Looking like a stud. That the red zone couldn't get off that game.
I know.
That's what I was watching the whole time. And it was like, oh, back to the Jets and Colts game.
How great would it be if Sam Darnold is the real deal and in the next 12 years they get a title somehow, the Jets. And he was right there for the Giants to pick him, but they picked a running back. That'd be great. Minnesota in New York. I'm going to have to go Minnesota.
Rex?
Man, the Jets have beat a lot of good teams, man. I'm going with the Jets.
I am going with the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Shit.
All right. Rex, Lions at Miami. Lions versus the Dolphins.
Oh, man. Dude, Dolphins totally surprised me last week. I'm hoping they're going to still stay the same team at home. I'm going to go with the Dolphins.
Diaz?
Matt Patricia, old AFC East foe, knows the Dolphins, but always had problems down in Miami. I got to go with my boy Lewis, and I'm picking the Dolphins.
Yeah. I didn't understand any of that, and I'm going with the Dolphins. Patriots at Chicago. Interesting game.
Interesting game. I'm going to go Patriots. There is no way that Bill Belichick doesn't scheme the fuck out of Mitch Trubisky. That dude's trash.
Yeah. Rex?
I have to go with the Patriots.
I fucking hate the Patriots,
too. I'm gonna tell you this right now. I'm not going to call it the upset of the week and take it because the Patriots just they couldn't be stopped on offense this week. But I bet that game is closer than you think. I don't know what the spread is, and I'm sure Diaz is going to cheat and look for it, but that's a DRQ. Interesting game here. Buffalo Bills at Indianapolis Colts.
Wow. Yeah.
A matchup of the Eagles coaching hand-me-downs. Frank Wright versus Sean McDermott. Diaz.
No, Rex goes first. I went first last time.
I'll go first.
All right.
I'm taking the Bills.
Okay.
Rex, you're up.
That's your Cinderella pick this week, huh?
No. No, I think the Bills are a better team. I don't like
that
luck.
That's a really tough.
Yeah, you never like luck.
I don't like luck. Fuck luck. All right, got to go. Make a pick or talk about what's in that fucking noggin of yours.
Go with the Colts.
I'm going with the Colts because the Bills are starting Derek Anderson, who's older than you. You already picked the Bills, so you're stuck with them.
I'm taking the Bills.
All right.
Taking the Bills. Texans at Jaguars. Diaz, go.
Jaguars. The Texans are a joke. Bill O'Brien will be fired before the end of the year.
Rex.
The fucking Jags were a joke last week against the fucking Cowboys.
Yep.
They were an embarrassment out there. They were the AFC East Championship last year. Oh, my God. I'm going with the Texans.
Wow.
I was going to take the Texans until Rex took them, and now I'm going to go with the Jaguars with a home game after a big loss on the road. I think they're going to come in and fucking hammer them. Saints at Ravens.
Ooh, that's tough because the Saints are a better team. Saints are obviously weaker on the road. Baltimore's got a good defense. It is on turf.
It's on grass.
The Ravens stadium is turf.
It's turf?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It is. It's field turf or whatever you want to call it. Turf.
Okay.
I'm gonna go Ravens.
I'm gonna go Ravens as well. Rex.
I'm gonna go Ravens as well too.
Wow.
Pussy. You're so fucking weak.
The 4:25 game, the Cowboys at the Redskins.
Oh my God, the NFC East is such trash.
It's just a garbage game.
If I understand fans in other cities like this NFC East shit is just like they get a game every freaking national game every week. Cowboys at Redskins. I'm going Redskins.
Rex,
I'm gonna go Redskins also.
All right, well. I have hair on my ass. I'm going with the Cowboys.
What an asshole. Dallas sucks, bitch.
Whatever, dude. Whatever. Redskins won last week, right?
Against
Carolina.
Yeah, they did.
You want the Cowboys to win this game. All right. Here's one we didn't talk about. We talked about just how good the games were. We didn't talk about how much the 49ers, I thought, stepped up in Green Bay.
Yeah, C.J. Beathard, not that bad.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Or Green Bay's defense is just terrible.
Who knows? But anyway, we've got the Rams at the 49ers on the Sunday night game.
Rams at 49.
Wow.
Battle of the liberal state. battle of gas prices. The Mexican Civil War. How many ways do you want to go with this?
Oh, is it Mexican? Well, Jesus Christ. I don't want to go down this politics road, you know, this close to the end of the show.
Yeah, he didn't even go down it all show, right, Diaz?
Yeah, the whole show.
Get out of politics.
I didn't say anything.
It's politics all the time with this guy, you know.
California is full of Mexicans. What do we have to beat around the bush on that one?
He's a raging, gun-loving racist who hates women.
All right, good.
Okay,
now that you know everything there is to know about me, who do you take it?
Without knowing the lines, you got to go Rams until they lose.
You got to go Rams.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a big 49ers fan right now.
I got you. Diaz, or excuse me, Rex, what are you doing?
I think the 49ers might put up a fight, but I think the Rams are too strong, man. I'm going with the Rams.
Rams. I think neither one of you have a hair on your fucking dick, and I am taking the 49ers. At home.
Time out for a second. Are you saying you have a lot of hair on your dick? Is that what you're trying to say? Ladies, I mean, as if there was any, if you didn't need another reason to stay away from Quimby.
Yeah, here we go. Here's the biggest reason to stay away. The toilet bowl, Monday night, the Giants at Falcons.
Oh, jeez.
Terrible.
Oh, my God. Shit, the Falcons are, Falcons have no defense, but they're at home. They beat up on everybody, and the Giants are trash. But we get to cheer against Eli and laugh at more Eli face opportunities.
I agree. Diaz is taking the Falcons, Rex.
Falcons.
I am going with the Falcons as well. And our final game, Carolina in Philadelphia.
Going Birds.
Going Birds.
Not quite sure which way I want to go on this one. Really not quite sure which way. Well, yeah, I'm okay with going complete DRQ on this one. I'm going to take the Birds as well. I do think this game is going to be extremely close. I think it's going to come down to the fourth quarter. I think it might even come down to who has the ball at the end of the game. To be honest with you, I don't like the matchup for Philly after the Thursday night loss last year. It's a revenge game in a big way. Carolina's playing good ball. They got Kuechly back healthy.
Kuechly. It's Kuechly.
It's Kuechly.
It's your Kuechly. It's Kuechly.
He's going to be eating his meals out of a fucking straw in a couple years.
It is. It's that sad, man. His brains are scrambled.
Who? Me?
Kuechly. Well, yeah, you. I mean, shit, we're already dealing with the fallout from that.
They also have Greg Olsen back, even though he's playing with a broken foot.
He's old.
Did I say that right? Did I say his name properly?
Olsen, yeah. It's Alson.
It's Greg Alson Jeffrey.
I see the way to beat them is to – we got to get to Cam early because that dude's an emotional roller coaster.
He is. That's true.
And if we can get to him early, get maybe a turnover or something like that, we could cruise to a good victory, victory. Yeah.
Hey, Rex, we're going to do some final notes here, bro, but we're going to let you go. You be safe driving down there. Are you on 95 right now or are you on some sort of turnpike?
Yes, I'm on 95. I'm heading to a friend's place in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, nice! Because there is nothing in Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah, I'll be
Richmond.
Sure
Richmond.
There's a lot of Confederate statues there. So
here we go.
Quimby loves Richmond.
Here we go. Rex, you be good. Call me
all
later
right.
on.
All right, fellas. All right, good
thanks,
talking.
Bro. Yeah, bro. So that's a great point, actually, that you make right there. Cam being a bit of a head case and. If you can get to him early, the kind of damage that you could do.
Right, and he puts his head down and makes those faces. That's just what the fans will just start eating that up down there. We'll get loud, get rowdy. I think everyone still believes in the Birds. I mean, no one would pick them to win the Super Bowl right now, but they know we have something here that we can make a little bit of a run.
Yeah,
this
of
is
course.
About the point where you make a little bit of a run. You beat the Giants on Thursday night after a short break in the rain. You come back, you win here.
You have to beat Carolina because it's an NFC
absolutely
NFC team.
You pick up. You know, we'll see how the Jags do this week. But
you know, the Titans lost, not monumental because they're an
AFC
team.
Right? Yeah, the Tampa one
kind of
hurts. And Minnesota. Minnesota. Yeah.
Well,
this is why
you have to win these NFC matchups now.
And I had said before the season, if we can be 6-2 or 5-3 at the break, I mean, anything better than that would be great. But I see getting in the playoffs. If we can peak in November, everyone's back, everyone's healthy. Howie, give me Lev Bell though. It'd be fucking solid.
I'm gonna tell you something right now that it is a legitimate possibility because they do look that good. Imagine if the road to the Super Bowl went through that shit dump Coliseum.
I know.
Fucking horrendous, awful fucking neighborhood. Fucking dregs of society.
Inglewood's not much better, though, so
this
just wait till the stadium is there.
This
dude.
Is true, but it'll at least be a beacon of light. The Coliseum, sorry, great. A lot of history. I know the statues, the placards, the memorials for
it's
veterans.
It's a fitting name. I don't know which one is in
that
better
old
condition.
Thing should
Rome
be blown the fucking
Rome
hell.
Or LA, which is in better condition. It's funny though. You know, we go to these stadiums and it's I want to visit this stadium, this Candlestick historic stadium dump. L.A. Coliseum, historic. Dump. The Dallas won. Oh, dump.
Dump. I had insulation, fire insulation from the roof fall in my fucking beer at a game there before I had started with the Green Legion. Face painted up, drinking my... Oh, what the fuck? The fire retardant?
Yeah, the spray?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right into my fucking beer.
Yeah, so a lot of these historic stadiums are historic because they should be banished to history.
Historically fucking terrible.
That whole setup, you go to get a beer, you have to walk down all the way to the ground.
Every way to the ground.
Yeah,
is a little concourse.
Yeah, but that shit sucks, man. There's nothing there. No flavor out there.
No flavor.
Yeah, no flavor. So, yeah, that'd be crazy. So, L.A. in December and January? Those turnaround, you know, that turnaround is pretty quick, but,
It is.
But the good thing about the Green Legion is we give Quimby a couple gray hairs when we do have those last-minute trips like New Orleans playoff games and Super Bowl in Minnesota.
And, of course, we will run them, and we will run them perfectly like we always do. And I can say that now, knowing that I am a mere 50 tickets shy of my goal for our London trip, which was not the case a month ago.
Yeah.
And
a lot of people don't understand, you know, I've been now involved.
We could talk about it now.
Yeah. Involved in a professional sense with you and Green Legion and working for you for, you know, this is the second season, but I've been with you since 2004 and I never worry about it because it's always delivered. But we've had a lot of new people with the success of the Eagles and the success of what we've done.
Of course.
So why don't you just, before we get out of here, just behind the curtain a little bit, how it works.
Behind the curtain is simple. A lot of the stuff that you might have questions about or feel as though we should already be giving you or providing you answers to, you just can't physically have until a very short amount of time prior to the trip.
You mean like, where's my ticket going to be in April of a game that's not happening for 6 months? I mean, it's a fair question,
and here's the deal with the London game. I tried every avenue possible to work with Ticketmaster and the NFL UK out there. I don't believe the NFL UK knows a lot about what they're doing. I really don't. I did have one woman out there who was extremely helpful, helped me secure 100 tickets.
100.
100.
That's nice. I mean,
100 out of 1,248.
Yeah.
I can let the cat out of the bag now. I had tried every resource possible. The Eagles can't do anything. They have to take care of sponsors. NFL UK can't do anything. By the time I got to the right person, you know, I won't talk about the fact that I was knocking on your fucking door in February.
Right.
But outside of that, on September 10th, right?
That was a month ago, basically, for all intents and purposes. A month and a week.
5.5 weeks.
Right.
I had no tickets for this game.
Oh, my God. Well, I paid... Excuse me. What are you doing? I paid a lot of money, and they did pay a lot of money.
They did, and in all fairness, they're not in the wrong to have their concerns.
Yeah.
However, this is not atypical. You know, a lot of games will wait until the week of to if we can't buy the tickets at face value from the team. We have to make a determination when we think the best time to purchase tickets will be.
Buy them in May when they're at their highest, right after the schedule's announced. Yeah. Do we wait till the lull of summer?
June, right before spring right before training camp, when nothing's going on. There's all kinds of ups and downs. We basically we're gamblers for a living,
especially with the currency exchange. You got to look at what's going up. It's going up. Going down.
I could thank the Don for helping out a little bit there.
Here we go.
But in all fairness, now we are in a position, and I've lost on this trip, and I could have figured out ways to squirrel out of things, but I didn't, and I won't. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to come out on top because I don't give a shit what happens to me in any way, shape, or form. I really don't. If I walked out and got hit by a bus tomorrow, the only thing that I'd be pissed off about was that I wasn't able to provide everything for my clients for the rest of the season.
Right.
That's it. That's the that is the only thing that I'd be upset about. And at this point, you know, we're finally in a spot. And just so you know, the friends of the Legion, you're going to have very interesting seats.
Nice.
For this game.
Do you want to tell them what that means?
I'm going to tell them right now because I don't mind. The friends of the Legion have we all have kill seats, which means row 5 or less in the lower level end zone, sections 134 and 135.
Wow.
It's not a big group. It's our core group. It's the people that
people
have traveled with
forever,
us for,
yeah.
forever and but it's enough. We have rows 1 through 5. I literally have seats for us in the first row on the stadium in the end zone.
That's awesome.
In the middle. And
can we bring signs?
You can bring signs.
Can we bring banners?
The only
sheets?
The only problem with the kill seats is
when it's on the opposite
they're
field.
They're a little obstructed. So I can't give those to other people. It'll be great for us. And I've talked to most of the people that are going to be sitting with us and told them, look, hey, you know, this is what this is. I can't ask you to upgrade or pay for it, even though I paid an arm and a leg for these fucking things.
Right.
It's going to be a great experience. But, you know, the camera might be rolling around. You're in row 1.
Yeah.
You got everything going on. Row 2, row 3, row 4, row 5.
You see the operation. It might not be the best for the game. You're going to be watching the screen half the game because it's on the other side of the field.
But it's going to be a fucking experience.
You're going to get a game ball when Alshon scores a touchdown.
There is a very, very good chance somebody's going to get a game ball from somebody.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be happier about that. But we have less than 50 tickets now to purchase for this game. So we've done what we said, and the people that we've used, you know, I can take an opportunity to give some thanks out. Prime Sport, Scott Jernigan has been extremely helpful. Scott was responsible for our Super Bowl tickets. I can't thank him enough. Ari Reutman from the Eagles gave us a good word to the NFL UK, so we could get a couple of tickets from them. Western States Tickets out in Arizona, a great referral from Ticket Links. Our friends Rob Moore over here in Bala Cynwyd, ticket agency. They've gotten us about 120 tickets. Ticket City out of Texas. I think they're in Austin. G'day! That's
Australian.
Come on. You don't listen to the Preston Steve Show ever?
I do sometimes.
All right. Well, it's an inside joke. All right. They got us about 100 tickets. The rest we've acquired on StubHub UK, so they're all guaranteed. And the people that we've gone and our friends at Ticket Monster appreciate the last little bit of help that you guys gave us with about 40 or 50 tickets. But you know, it's going to be a nightmare getting the tickets out to everybody, but we will do it. Because I said we're going to do it.
We always do.
We always do, and that's not going to fucking change.
You know, the one thing that we dropped the ball with is we said this back in April. You and I had this conversation where what we should do is film a quote-unquote humorous video about how we operate. You know,
yeah,
like,
no,
does the ticket and tailgate package include a hotel room? You know, just the we get these questions that, you know, there's no bad questions, but some of them really. So today, if you notice my post about our London tailgate, I made it very clear when I said our mile-long march to the stadium
is only 0.3 miles.
It's 0.5 miles or whatever it is. First off, if you're worried it's going to be a mile walk, you have Google Maps and every type of map on the phone that you're texting us or emailing us or calling us that you're upset about. What I meant was we're going to have 2,000, 3,000 fans. It's going to look like
a mile long.
Right.
Just so you know, we are just south of 1,600 people at that tailgate right now, and we have a week and a half to go. So I am fully confident.
We'll get over 2 grand.
We've been asked to stop at 2.
Oh, what? Shit, I've been saying I wanted it to be like 2,500.
Want it to be manageable for the Green Man Hotel. Our good friend Mal Preedy, brother, you are the fucking man. You won't hear this, but maybe it'll get back to you in some way. That guy's been fucking fantastic. He has three separate caterers coming.
Awesome. For the same menu?
For the same. Each. Okay, so like we have three proteins and three sides.
Right.
All right, each part of the menu is a meal caterer. And a side. So bangers and mash.
Right.
So we have one caterer coming in doing the sausage and mashed potatoes. Then you got chicken pies, the pot pies, yeah. And whatever the side was with that.
I don't have it
memorized. And then chicken curry and rice. So he's got a caterer, three different caterers coming in for each one of those. The bar setup is out of control. We just ordered our tent for
in case of rain or whatever.
You're gonna get wet. Bring a poncho, but we've got some sort of cover. The whole setup's gonna be fucking great.
It's talking about the Green Man Pub. A lot of people might not know this. You did a little research. I listened. You know, our good friend Ross Tucker, who came to our playoff tailgates last year. He's going to be there this week. He does all the Eagles pregame, and he's going out to London this week. But anyway, I'm listening to his podcast.
The fucking Chargers-Titans game?
Yeah, I know, which is crazy because he's a local guy. He's out of the Reading area. But anyway, he said after the game, I want to meet as many Tuckheads. He calls them his fans, Ross Tucker, the Tuckheads, at the Green Man Pub in Wembley. The Green Man Pub is kind of like... for these London games, it's sort of like the United Nations. It's the biggest facility that could probably hold fans, and they do like Premier League games, and they do all kinds of stuff.
There's a sick center that could hold 5,000 people, but it's inside and dark like a basketball court.
Yeah, right. This
has character. The Green Man Hotel's been around forever. The pub's been around forever. Mal's been around forever. The outside, you know, it smells like stale beer.
Right.
That's perfect.
But that's what we do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We have beer. We have lots and lots and lots and lots of beer. You know, like you're supposed to do when you run a tailgate. Lots of beer.
More beer than you would think you would need because, you know, Eagles fans get a little hype and they want to drink more than you would think.
Yeah. I hear you.
Just don't run out. You know, just don't run out. That's
just don't run out. Word from the wise. Just don't run out of beer.
Do we need one 30-pack or two 30-packs? Well, let's bring three just to be sure. How it goes.
That's it.
We'll eat some if we have to.
You guys, we're gonna end the program here real quick one more time. And let me grab the list so I don't miss anybody at all. Once again, people that make this absolutely possible for Diaz and I, we've got Miller Lite, Yards Brewery, Stateside Vodka, Bucks County Baseball Company, who will be at our tailgate selling gear this Sunday morning, 422 Jeep Limerick. Our friends over at Delilah's Den. It's no longer Delilah's Den, by the way. I keep saying that. It's just Delilah's and all the beautiful women there. Our good friends at all the Kavanaugh's restaurants, Pat Pavlicek, Ken Hutchings, Brian Pavlicek, everything from River Deck, who's got one more weekend. Don't forget, though, about Head House on South Street and Rittenhouse. And our good friend Paul in the basement. And, of course, where our old stomping grounds were, 39th and Sansom, the University City.
Cavanaugh's.
And then, of course, our good friends at Bourbon Blue. You guys really appreciate all the support once again. And for the eighth time, we're going to be signing off. We are going to have a special program in London next Saturday.
Yeah! Cross globe
with special guest Hollis Thomas.
Yeah,
Hollis. On the DQ Sports Blizzard.
I'm afraid Hollis is just gonna blow my shit up, man. He's just gonna tear me down.
I was wondering where you were gonna go with that, but everybody that's traveling with us to London, you guys get there safe. We will see you and talk to you next week.